The Lord bless you, dear heart-dwelling family. Lord, I really need to hear from you. I've very much felt an absence of his presence lately, and I know that he's here. But still, I have feelings where I can't see him, and it really bothers me. And I just got to the point where I really, really needed to hear from him today. He began, "This becoming all mine is a steady process." Actually, I should back up here because I felt like I'd blown it in a couple of areas. In fact, I knew that I'd blown it in a couple areas. And you know how we feel when we blow it, we want to hide. But I came running to him. But then there's still that thing that wants to hide because you feel so ashamed when you blow it. So he began, "This becoming all mine is a steady process. Sometimes it is two steps backwards and one step forward. What is most important is that despite your falls, you continue to get back up and seek me. I love you, Claire, with an indescribable love, a love you cannot comprehend. I see your heart. I see your misguided zeal. I long to hold you and tell you that everything will turn out okay. That's why I continue to tell you not to be afraid and that I am with you. Your love for me is deep and tender. Truly, you have given me your life. Truly, you are the spouse of my heart. You are just on the road to holiness, not having yet arrived. Yet much of your intention is holy, and I watch the movements of your heart. I study them, and I see how they are bent towards goodwill for others, care and concern, and deep pain for those in trouble. A lot of these movements you are not even aware of. You see only the disheveled outside, storm-tossed and tattered from the attacks of the enemy. You have been through several major storms, but still you continue to hold on and keep going. That in itself is priceless. Your enemies are quite real and want to remind you of your failures and even set you up for more if they can. But I am here to remind you of the inner beauty I see, the heart so in love with me, so committed to me. Don't look so much at your everyday struggles. Rather, look at your overall progress, what I have entrusted into your hands, how we are working together, how things continue to move forward, though you feel you are at a standstill. This will pass. I have allowed this to ground the community more deeply in prayer and the spiritual life with me. Had you continued building at that pace, you would have lost graces, and that is what this community is all about. You see, even your enemies serve me. How pitiful they are in their one-track minds. Here they're supposed to be suppressing you and preventing you, while the fact is they were serving me by holding you back so the community could grow deeper spiritual roots and spend more time in spiritual warfare. Had your enemies left you alone, the building would have gotten done, but you would have been much weaker, more vulnerable to serious division in the community. So you see, as usual, what the enemy meant for evil, I turn to good. They have no idea how valuable their service has been to the greater cause. In addition to that, the members of the community have grown in holiness and patience. Truly they have. They are discovering faults and weaknesses they had no idea existed in their souls. One cannot overcome their vices until they are revealed. I gently and carefully take their hands and show them things about themselves in my mirror. Coming back to the message, the Lord began, "I'm not done yet, beloved. Keep typing." My mind was wandering. He began, "I love you. I love you. I love you with all my divine being. I love you, and your imperfections are like dust on your wedding dress. They will be easily washed away. I only ask that you love me as much as you possibly can, giving me everything, even your faults, and never giving up, never backing down. Your enemies are not fighting your poor little self. They are fighting against me, and you know how that's going to turn out." And here I want to share a word from my husband. He was reading he and I. "Advance, advance. Let nothing hinder your trustful steps forward. Trustful, of course, since I am here. And if you count on me, can you ever imagine that I would fail to help you to reach your goal? Learn to desire. And since you have heard this word, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Dare to the utmost. Alone you can't do anything, but trusting in me, leaning on me, submerged in me, you can do everything. That's why I keep on saying, lose yourself in me and humbly ask me to act for you, and I will act." Jesus continued, "This word was given to your husband to encourage you. Get rid of that unbelief, dear one. Truly, it isolates you from the power of my grace, working from within you. When you focus so much on your falls, you see yourself alone, striving against impossible odds. And is it any wonder that you're chained down in discouragement? You see yourself alone. You do not recognize how I work through you, even when you fall. Rather, you see yourself as shipwrecked. My beloved ones, listening in, you all have this serious bondage. You look too much at your own sinfulness, and by doing so, reinforce this feeling of being isolated from grace. And when you feel this isolation, you cease to work for the kingdom, thinking yourself impotent. You were never isolated from grace. Just because you don't feel it or see direct results does not mean it is not moving strongly through you as a vessel unto honor. When you fall, I send you little reminders that you are moving in the wrong direction. Pick yourself up, turn around, and keep going in the right direction. But do not beat yourself to death with a correction. Take it as a slight adjustment in coordinates on your way to a holy destination. Don't continue to stare at your chains, your bondage, your uselessness, your complete desolation. Rather, turn your eyes upon me and you will see my strong arm reaching down to save you. And if you dare to look closely, you will see my smile. Yes, a smile. Not because I approve of what you did, but I smile because I want to encourage you to get up and try again. I smile because I see your ending, and it is glorious. I smile because I see what you have worked for in the salvation of souls. I smile because you have received me into your heart and love me deeply. When a toddler falls, does her daddy scold her? Of course not. Rather, he rushes to comfort and lift her back up and set her on her little feet and even reach out his big finger so she can wrap her tiny hand around it and keep her balance as she moves forward. Even more, he waits to see until she has regained her sense of balance before he lets go. Don't you see? I know your frame. I know when you will fall and when you will stand, and I love you all the same. Together we will walk in perfect balance. When you seemingly let go of that finger, I am still balancing you from inside, though you may not be aware of it. The deeper our union, the more transparent I become, living inside of you. Yet my grace never ceases to assist you in those challenging moments. My grace raises you up. Even now, as I am speaking to you, the chains of unbelief are falling away, and you are beginning to walk in the knowledge of my grace again, with confidence that we can do this life together, and you are not shipwrecked, and you are not a hopeless cause. These are the thoughts of the enemy, who is indeed a hopeless cause. So I want you to stand up now on your own two feet, knowing that my grace is sufficient for you and my power is perfected in your weakness. How I love you, Claire. Oh, how I love you. Receive this love and let it heal the brokenness within you. Rest in my arms, cherished ones. I am forever delighted when you rest in my arms, in confident assurance that you are truly mine, and I will finish the work to be done in you with my steadfast love and tenderness. And that was the end of the Lord's message. Since I received this message a couple days ago, there have been several attacks against community members to make them feel worthless. Family, I cannot possibly stress this enough. These negative thoughts are from the demons who are working very hard right now to rob you of your anointing and the work set before you. None of you feel good going into ministry or even living from day to day when you are receiving these negative thoughts. They must be stopped, caught before they go into your heart and recognized for what they are, demonic tools to bring you down. When the Lord convicts you of a failure or a fall, He does it in a very quiet way that makes you feel like that fall was not becoming to a soul of your stature. He tenderly touches your conscience and makes you aware that the conduct or remark does not suit His beautiful bride, which is who you really are. When the demons are attacking you after a fall, they don't attack what you did. They attack who you are. They cast slurs on you, calling you a loser, a hopeless case, a failure. Not like Jesus or the Holy Spirit. When they correct you, you feel deep remorse and regret for doing something out of character, but you don't hear any accusing voice telling you how rotten you are. The enemy dispirits you, bringing you lower than you've ever felt. This immobilizes you to reach out to others with the Lord because you feel so unworthy. When a child willfully runs on rocky ground, falls and hurts themselves, knowing they were warned, the parent doesn't say, "You're stupid and clumsy and awkward." They say, "Son, it's not wise to run over rocks like this. You should take your time and pick your way through them." Do you see the difference? In the first example, the parent is attacking the child's character, even making them feel hopeless. But in the second, the parent is exhorting the child to use wisdom and be more careful. Satan always attacks character. He is the accuser of the brethren. His whole tactic is to deprive you of the confidence you have in Christ so that you will shrink away in fear of being called stupid and mercilessly chastised or criticized. The Lord always points out the wrong choice and exhorts you to be more careful the next time, not to open yourself to that fall again. Remember the woman caught in adultery that they were going to stone? He forgave her, and he said, "In the future, avoid this sin." He didn't call her a harlot and a prostitute and a whore. Rather, he exhorted her to avoid that occasion of sin. When he does this, he puts the emphasis on you being intelligent and loved, never condemned. If you feel condemned, you can be sure that thought is from Satan, who is slowly eating away at your sense of who you are in Christ. He is stealing your hope and faith in God's ability to work through you. The end result is that you want to give up trying, which can send you into a downward spiral and weaken you, so you will keep on falling. When God corrects you, you feel hope that you can avoid this fall in the future with God's grace, because He loves you, and He's picked you up, and He will anoint you to keep strong in times of temptation. And so you get up and try again, leaning on the Lord for strength. So please, my dear ones, don't allow the enemy to feed failure into your heart and mind. Know that if you feel condemnation, it is not from Jesus. It's from Satan. The Lord bless you. And I want to thank those of you who have been contributing to the ministry. We really appreciate that so much. We have several community members now, and it helps a great deal to feed those tummies. Wonderful people, for sure. They really are. But they do eat. So God bless you, and thank you for thinking of us and taking care of us. May the Lord bless you with His sweet, sweet presence and keep you safe in these difficult times. And don't forget to pray Psalm 91 to cover your loved ones and yourself with God's protection.